Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
The Apostle Paul had an important request for the church in Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians 3 said, "Brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Paul knew that he couldn't succeed in his ministry without the prayers of believers. And our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, agreed and added that every successful evangelist, preacher, and teacher of the Word must have people praying for him. Welcome to Through the Bible, where today the Bible Bus takes us through 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 7. And as you find your place in your Bible, I'd like to share a few letters from some of the pastors and pastors in training who have written to Through the Bible. There are a few more letters than I normally read, but I knew that you'd enjoy hearing them as much as I did. This first one comes from a listener of our Persian broadcast over in Iran. I'm 28 years old. I traveled all over Iran hoping to find meaning to life. One day by accident, I listened to your radio program. Now I've been listening to your programs faithfully for several years. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I became married. My wife is very interested in Christianity. I want to now become a pastor and work for Jesus Christ. Please tell me how I can become a pastor. I've bought a map of Iran and have been praying for every place in this country. May God use me. Can you imagine if my country became a Christian nation? Then we will taste freedom and justice, and there will be a love of God among our people. Well, let's praise God for the faith of this man and his prayers for his nation. And then here's another Persian listener who's praying to reach his people with the gospel. I've been listening to your radio programs for a few years. It is my only source of spiritual nourishment. It is also the primary way I have grown in my faith in Jesus Christ and learned to live as a Christian. I want to serve God with all my heart and am thankful that He can use people like me. I have a call from God to be a pastor to guide my people to Christianity. Will you pray for me? What a great letter. Will you intercede on behalf of this listener and then the others who feel called to serve God through the ministry? We also received this letter. This is from a group, actually, in Albania who called Dr. McGee their pastor. They write to us. "We're very thankful for your programs. We are a group of believers in a small village. We do not have a place to gather together or a pastor, but God brought us a pastor on the air. We cannot gather in the houses of each other because our parents are unbelievers and do not allow us to read any Christian literature. Radio is our only one hope. It brings the Word of God near to us. Please keep us in your prayers." And next we have a Cambodian pastor who hears our Khmer broadcast. "I learn a lot by listening to the TTB program. I also take notes while listening so that I can share those lessons with my church members. I want them to know God's salvation and His truth. I am a pastor in a rural area, so the program really helps me in the ministry. May God bless you, and may your mission be fulfilled because God has put His hand upon you." And finally, we've got this letter. This is from a pastor in Tyler, Texas. "I've been a listener of Through the Bible since I was a student in college. I am now 51 years old, a Baptist pastor, and I still listen daily to the program. I'm always blessed and encouraged by the exposition of the Scriptures as Dr. McGee teaches the Word of God. You continue to be my major source of edification and instruction, and I sincerely thank you for your faithful ministry. May God bless you always." As we pray today to begin our study, let's lift up these ministers of God and all the others who faithfully serve God throughout the world. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that you've called to lead your church. Bless their work and protect them as they faithfully serve your body of believers. Give us a new appreciation for their efforts and help us to find ways, big and small, to support them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, friends, we've come to the last part of 2 Thessalonians. Now, here again is an epistle that took us right up to the clouds, looking into the air for the coming of the Lord. And this, a great many people think, is not practical. But you see, you may be looking up, but you better also watch your walk down here, because that's important. And we have seen here now that believers should be established in the Word, that is, the Word of God. And we saw that in the last part of chapter 2. Now in chapter 3 here, we have in the first 7 verses, believers should be established in their walk. And then the last part of this chapter, from verses 8 through 18, believers should be established in their work. You see, it's one thing to keep looking up. It's another thing to keep on keeping on down here. And you better also look down every now and then to see how your walk is, and look down at the Word of God, and look down at the work that you're doing. We have a little saying, several of us here in Southern California that are Christians, we play golf together a great deal. And I always say to them when they look up, that's one of the worst things in golf, the tendency is to look up. The natural man always wants to see how good he's doing and looks up to see where the ball is going. Well, I say to them, I said, as a Christian, you're to look up, but as a golfer, you're to look down, keep your eye on the ball. And as a Christian today, living in this world, we should keep our eye on the Word of God, on our walk down here, and on our work down here. Now, he's going to talk about the walk. We talked last time about the Word of God. And in that, he said something that was quite wonderful. He's to comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. And this has to do with loyalty to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke in this section of a marvelous position that we have in Christ. We are chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and we are called of God by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's heady stuff. That really is exciting, and that is rather thrilling. But now, Paul says there's certain responsibilities that you have as a believer, that you now are to walk down here in a way that will discharge your responsibility as a believer. And as Paul put it in Ephesians, walk worthy of the high calling wherewith you're called. That's what Paul is saying here. Now as he begins here in chapter 3, verse 1, I'm reading now, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Now, what he's saying here is this. The word enables the believer to walk before the wicked world. The Word establishes a believer in his walk. And now he says, "Finally, brethren," he's coming to the end of the epistle, "finally, brethren, pray for us." And that is something that every believer can engage in. Prayer, I don't think, is a gift of the Spirit. Prayer is something that all believers should do, and every work, if it is to succeed, is to have prayer back of it. Every successful evangelist and preacher of the Word and teacher of the Word that is being used of God has people back of him praying for him. And Paul is asking the Thessalonians for prayer in this respect, that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, Paul had a unique ministry. He was a missionary. He was an evangelist. He was an evangelist as we think of it today. Actually, the word in the New Testament means missionary. And also, he was a pastor and a teacher of the Word. He fulfilled all of those offices, and he had done the same thing in Thessalonica. He led them to the Lord. He taught them, and now he acts as a pastor in these letters that he's writing to them, not only instructing them in the Word, but he is also attempting to comfort them and also to counsel them. And here's one of the things he enjoins them to do. He says, pray for us and pray that the word of God may have free course. Now, may I be very practical with this? We today stand on the threshold of a door that is breathtaking to me. It's something that I really hold my breath when I even think of broadcasting the Through the Bible in South America. And as we've turned our eyes toward the east, the far east, I should say, here in California, you got to look west to see the far east, into China, and then that entire area. These are great days. These are glorious days. And I just want to bring this right down and put it in shoe leather, right where you are, right where I am right now. And that is, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course today and be glorified even as it is with you, and that the word of God may be exalted. It troubles me, it worries me to see that even those who claim to believe the word of God give so little attention to the word of God. And if you believe it's the word of God, let's get in it and find out what it says. Now notice, he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not, now it's not faith, it's the faith. They have not the faith. That is, they do not hold to the doctrines of the apostles that they taught, that the church rests upon. The foundation is the doctrines that these men have given to the church. And this is something that's very important, and we should teach and preach this. Now, your pastor needs your prayers. I want to say this, and I want to say it carefully, and I know something about what it is to be a pastor, and I know what it is to be out and be a Bible teacher, going around holding conferences. Now, I want to be very frank with you. It's lots easier to go around and hold conferences. You see, a pastor has great responsibility today. And very frankly, he's dealing with a great many folk that are unreasonable. That's what Paul says here, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And did you know in the church there are wicked men? And a pastor needs to be delivered from these folk. And he needs prayer that he might give out the word of God. Now, a friend of mine, years ago, he's now gone to be with the Lord. He was a pastor, and he would say, I am not an obstetrician, I'm a pediatrician. Well, I have said that. I believe that I'm not an obstetrician, although I'm amazed at the number of letters we get from people that the radio brings them to the Lord. And I ought not to say radio, the word of God given over the radio is bringing them to a saving knowledge of Christ. That's the work of an evangelist. And I think that if you give out the word of God, that work will be performed. And it is being. But I feel like that I'm more of a pediatrician. Now, after all, the obstetrician, I think he has the easiest job. Very frankly, he brings the little baby into the world. And that's great. That's quite an undertaking, of course. But he turns him over then to the pediatrician. And it's the pediatrician that's got to see about the diet. He's got to burp him. And he has to change his diapers. He's the one that has to deal with cantankerous saints. And he has quite a job. My heart goes out to the pastor. Now, I go many places and hold conferences for some wonderful men in wonderful churches. In fact, that's about the only kind of churches that I want to go to, is where there is a man preaching and teaching the word of God that stands for the things of God. And on the other side of the coin, that's about the only kind of man that'll have me in his pulpit today. And I like it that way. But I leave many churches. We were driving away some time ago, my wife and I said to her, we've had a wonderful ministry here at this church for the week. and I've been here just long enough. I think these people are wonderful, and they think I am. We didn't get acquainted with each other, see, too much. I left just at the right time before they got acquainted with me. And I left. We'd had a wonderful ministry. I think I helped the pastor. He says I did. I've had several letters from him now, and he tells me what the ministry meant. But you want to know something? He's the one that's carrying the burden and the load there. He's the one that has the problems today. And I've really walked away from it. And very frankly, I think the evangelist and the Bible teacher today, the itinerant Bible teacher, like some of us are, it's easy for us, comparatively speaking, to the man who is the pastor. And Paul here is saying that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Actually, I find that the gospel and the word of God is hindered more today by people in the church than by any other method or any other thing. I've never had a bar room or the liquor interests ever attack me, and the gangsters have never attacked me. At least I've never known about it. But I have had so-called saints, and I think that in our churches today we have saints and ain'ts, and a lot of ain'ts today. And they give you a rough time, by the way. And it's too bad that we all can't just settle down and give out the word of God. Now, friends, I've spent time with this for this reason, that it's one thing to hold the truth of the coming of Christ, to love his appearing. It's another thing to walk worthy of that great truth. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Let's prove it by our relationship to the word of God, our relationship to our walk down here. How are we going to walk here? Now he goes on to say, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. And that's so wonderful. I find out I've let him down on several occasions, but he never let me down. He's faithful. He's always faithful. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And my friend, this is something that I believe that many of us that are professing Christians that we ought to hold to tenaciously is this little verse here. The Lord's faithful. He'll establish you. And today, Christians need to be established. Right now, the home is in disarray. The church is in disarray. And the lives of believers are in disarray. We need to be established. How can you be established? By coming to the Word of God and let it have its influence in your life. And only the Word of God will keep you from evil. Someone has said the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Now, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, friends, Christians are commanded to do certain things. And there are commandments for Christians. We saw that in the first epistle in chapter 5 there. There were 22 commandments. Don't stop with 10. Let's get 22 of them there. And these are things that believers are to do. Now, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. These are his commandments. Now, Paul had confidence in the Lord touching them, that he committed them to the Lord, that they would both do and will do the things which we command you. That is, this church that had a wonderful testimony would continue to maintain that testimony. Now he says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, the believer is to walk in the love of God and in a patient waiting for the coming of Christ. And friends, if you are walking today in the love of God, in the sunshine of his love, where the love of God's shed abroad in your heart, you know he loves you, and he does, and that you can manifest that love by the power of the Spirit, because only the Spirit of God can make God's love real to us, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it manifests itself. You can't naturally love every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I'm of the opinion we're not supposed to. Paul had said to the Philippians that our love today is to be in judgment, and therefore we are to be very careful about our love for those round about us. There are those that would hurt us if we're not careful, and we better be careful if we open our arms to some. They'll stab us in the back. Now, and in a patient waiting for the coming of Christ. Now, this is not a doctrine that you argue about whether you're premillennial, you're pre-trib, post-trib, amillennial. It's today in the patient waiting for the coming of Christ. And that's a nice place to be, by the way. Oh, these are such lovely verses. Every one of them is a wonderful verse. And they're so wonderful that can be said of these, as it was said, I think, of the writing of Shelley, that every word, if you would cut it, it would bleed. How true that is here. Now, notice verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. Paul doesn't beat around the bush. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition or the doctrine which he received of us. Now, the believer is not to walk with the disorderly. This idea today that, oh, I must go over, and in fact, we had a few here in Southern California a few years ago that said that they should go in the bar rooms and witness and sit down with the drunkard, and even some said you ought to have a can of beer with him and that sort of thing. And I happen to know of a young lady that became an alcoholic by following that type of thing. God says you're to let the disorderly alone. You can witness to them without going into a bar room and sitting down. You don't have to congregate with them in their evil doings. God makes that very clear here, that we are not to follow. Know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Well, birds of a feather flock together. My friend, if that's the kind of crowd you're going to run with, that's the kind of person that you are. And we need to be very careful today about the company that we keep and about the folk that we associate with. It's very important. We leave off there today, and we pick up next time. We'll see the work of the believer.
Dr. McGee is right. Our pastors certainly need our support and especially our prayers. You know, throughout his lifetime, Dr. McGee said many times that we stand behind the Bible-believing church. And it's our prayer that this daily Bible teaching program will encourage you to attend and support your local church body. So if you want to study more about the church, especially the early church and their contagious and enthusiastic devotion to Jesus Christ, I'd like to suggest Dr. McGee's booklet about the early church in Ephesus called The Church at Its Best. It's available for free download when you visit us online at ttb.org. And while you're visiting us online, check out one of Through the Bible's newest resources that you and your church can use to share God's Word with believers and seekers of any language. It's a great resource that comes from a partnership with an innovative, amazing ministry called Faith Comes by Hearing. Simply click on the button that says Bible in your language, and you'll find both audio and text versions of the Bible in hundreds of languages. And perhaps even more helpful to you is the link to the Bible.is app. It's available for both Apple and Android mobile devices. The Bible.is app offers audio Bible and text for anyone in the world in their own heart language. If you know someone that would like quick access to the Bible, no matter what language they speak, share with them the link to the Bible.is app. The address again is ttb.org. That's ttb.org. And click on the Bible in your language button. Join us tomorrow as our study in 2 Thessalonians comes to a conclusion. Until then, I'm Steve Schwetz, praying that God's grace, mercy, and peace will be with you until we meet again.
Jesus made it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. Be washed if white as snow.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.